Hi, everybody, and welcome to Unified, a podcast feed from First Church Belmont Unitarian Universalist. We'll be sharing sermons and stories, special thematic content made new every week. We're so glad you're here, and for more information about who we are and opportunities to grow and deepen, swing by the church on Sundays or check out our website at uubelmont.org. And for now, enjoy this new content.
The piece you're hearing today presents me with a little bit of a challenge. And it's a challenge I face in almost every major music service. The text of the Stabat Mater, along with most major music pieces we perform, is deeply Christian. As a choir director, it's not something I can avoid. During the 17th, 18th, and 19th centuries, most European composers were paid either by the Catholic, Lutheran, Eastern Orthodox, or Anglican churches, or the composers were paid by royal families who were themselves deeply Christian. With the exception of opera, pieces that were written on a scale like this for orchestra, choir, and soloists were almost always written for a feast day or other celebration in a church. On one hand, it's perfect for us. We are celebrating a service in a church. But on the other hand, as Unitarian Universalists, it's important for us to acknowledge that many of us here today, and here every week, are not Christian. For some, that theology even carries significant challenges. So it's important for us here to look for the deeper truth behind the Christian words, the truth that speaks to all religions, to all peoples. The Stabat Mater is a text from a 13th century hymn authored by either the Franciscan friar Jacopin da Poli or Pope Innocent III. In the Catholic Church, it is traditionally sung or recited on the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows, which is September 15th. As you can see from the translation in front of you, at its core, it is a hymn asking us to bear witness to and share in Mary's pain and grief as she stands before the cross where her son has been crucified. For this reason, it's often performed around Easter as well. If we look beyond the specifically Christian parts of the story, Mary as the Virgin Mother and Jesus as Savior, quite simply, we have a man named Jesus who was arrested for speaking his own truth and brutally and painfully executed for it. And his mother mourns. The pain and sorrow of losing someone we love is universal. Everyone here has mourned the death of someone, whether parents, friends, or even children. But I want to take a minute today and focus on one element of the story in particular. This hymn is about a mother mourning the death of her child due to violence caused by political ideology and racial and religious prejudice. Sound familiar? Unfortunately, in the world today, this is the reality for far too many parents. In Gaza, the indiscriminate and relentless bombing by the Israeli Defense Force and the assistance by Hamas of using the population as human shields has cost the lives of more than 1% of the population. In the first 3 weeks of the conflict alone, more children died in Gaza than all armed conflicts put together around the world in the previous year. Today, dozens of children are starving to death as they wait for desperately needed humanitarian supplies. And though the numbers are the highest in Gaza right now, this is the reality for far too many families, far too often, all over the world. In my homily in December for our previous major music service, I spoke about all of the countries who are currently at war, and the list is painfully long. But it's not just war, and it's not just other countries. Children are directly or indirectly impacted by so much of the judgmental rhetoric that's happening even in this country. Racial discrimination leads black youth to be at more at risk of dropping out of school, poverty, incarceration, and shorter life expectancy than their white peers. Homophobia and transphobia leads LGBTQ+ youth to be more at risk of suicide and homelessness than their cishet peers. Everywhere we look, there are children in crisis, and there are parents who are grieving. The important question now is, what, if anything, does all this ask us to do? There are steps that we as individuals can take if we feel so moved. There are charities and organizations trying to move humanitarian supplies into Gaza. There are relocation and relief efforts for families fleeing Ukraine. There are refugees coming into this country who need support and help. And some of us in this community have become involved in these efforts. In just a few minutes, during the next movement of the Stop Mantra, we will be collecting an offering to share with Sustainable Harvest International, which helps alleviate the global hunger crisis by promoting sustainable farming practices. More locally, there are organizations like the Waltham House, which support displaced and homeless LGBTQ+ youth whose families refuse to accept them for who they are. All of these things and more are things we can do to help. However, I think if we look at the Christian text in front of us again, we find another course of action that we can take. It's just as important as the ones that I mentioned, and it's one that everyone here can do, regardless of your age, financial capacity, or creed. The hymn isn't asking to alleviate Mary's sorrow. It's not asking us to act or to give money. The singer simply asks to stand in witness, to grieve with her, to share her pain, to see it. And this is one of the beautiful things about a community like this one. It is said that joy shared is joy multiplied, and sorrow shared is sorrow divided. To come together in community, to reach out with kindness and love to those who are hurting, is one of the most incredible gifts we can give, and it costs us nothing. There is an ancient Buddhist meditation practice called Tonglen. The practice centers on imagining that as we exhale, we are sharing the light of well-being and its causes with everyone who needs it. And as we inhale, we are relieving others of the darkness of suffering and its causes. This is what the text of the Stabat Mater is talking about. So as we continue to listen to Bonacini's music, I invite you to try it, to breathe, to share your light, to suffer with Mary, to relieve the darkness of suffering. As a community, we can come together in kindness and in love, and just that simple act can make this world a better place.